We're going to try not to laugh today. This is what's going
to
happen.
That's right. So welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man, KJ. I have a new co-host in the village, the beautiful Eva Marie. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So village, she's been listening to the show for quite some time now. And so I'm just like, you know what? She's offered some really, really great insight. So I'm like, I reached out to her and we're going to just start podcasting. She was like, I'm down. I'm like, all right, let's do this. All right, guys. So let me get a few minutes here. We're going to go live on Facebook. We're going to set those up. So like I said, Village, this was something that I had been thinking about for quite some time. And I figured, what the hell? Let's reach out to her, see if she's down to do it. And she's down to do it. So I'm just like, yeah, this is beautiful music.
Beautiful music.
Exactly. So guys, I'm over here loading up the Facebook Live links, and we're going to see if it's going to get going or not. You know how Facebook is. If it doesn't go, we'll just record the show and put it out later for you guys to watch. And right now, Facebook is kind of a little bit laggy, a little bit slow. And the unfortunate part is that you kind of have to wait until you start the show of Facebook. So we're just going to take a few minutes here and see if Facebook load up. We got a bunch of interesting topics today. We're going to talk about the suicide rates among Native Americans, like the natives. Like, I feel that in a sense, you know, sometimes we look at Native Americans in this country and we forget about them. We're also going to discuss this whole issue with Black Ariel. We have also a few other topics and some village idiots. And we're going to go from there. All right. So what I'm going to do, villages, we're just going to go ahead and start the show because Facebook seems to be not cooperating, if you will. So we're going to try this one more time on Facebook. And let's see my timeline and look live and come on, give it to me, baby.
You're gonna have to give it treats or something.
That's something.
You're gonna have to bribe Facebook. You're gonna have to bribe Facebook.
Yeah, my goodness, who cares? All right, let's go ahead and just start the show without Facebook Live. I'll just check in on it sporadically. All right, so Eva Marie, we got this first topic here, and this is one that you have brought to me. Basically, suicide rates among Native American women is up 139%. And this is not some old article. This is an article that you found from June 21st of this year. So this is very recent. This is in the USA Today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a little bit of this story here, and then we're going to give our thoughts on it, of course. The U.S. suicide rate is up 33% since 1999, but for Native American women and men, the increase is even greater, 139% and 71%, respectively, according to an analysis out this week by the Centers for and Prevention of National Center for Health Statistics. Now, I'm going to stop there for a quick second, and this is why. You know, as I alluded to earlier, it just blows me away. If you think about it, Native Americans, in a sense, are kind of the forgotten people. I think they are. I think because as society, we say, well, they got their casinos and they got their Indian reservations, everything, they should be fine, squared away, good to go. But that's not the case. They've dealt with a lot of tragedy, and a lot of this stuff is generational. So when you think about all the things that they've gone through, Native Americans have being part Native yourself, this is something you pay close attention to. So this is something for you that hits home, being a Native woman, even though you appear to be white, you're half Native.
Yeah, I'm about 3/4 mixed match of different tribes, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Look at that. And my family said I'm the Heinz 57 of the Native American peoples. Yeah. Oh, I have four. Let's see, Cherokee, Apache, Blackfoot, and Choctaw. Cherokee and Apache. Yes, and more Cherokee and Apache. My grandparents on both sides were actually taken from the reservations. I know for sure on my one side, my grandmother was actually taken from the Apache Nation. And she was adopted into a white family. And she was so dark in skin color. And, you know, being a small child, she wasn't even allowed to go to school till she was 13 years old. So when we did genealogy, when I was in high school, my family did genealogy. My grandma, me being her granddaughter, I actually could have grown up on the reservations. I have enough blood quantum to actually own land in Oklahoma. We just chose not to go down that path. So yeah, this is something I'm very, very, very passionate about. Because for me, the Native American peoples are kind of, I don't want to say they're a forgotten people, but if you even, maybe not my children, because although on both sides of my family, I never got to grow up completely inside the culture. I've made it very important that they know where they come from. Mm-hmm. You know, we're Native American and Scottish. That's, you know, and Irish. And which in and of itself they each have very unique cultures. And they've all also had to have a lot of adversity. And I've raised my girls to overcome adversity. That's been a kind of a constant conversation in my house. But yeah, 139%, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. You're talking about, I was reading statistics about reservations in the United States. The reservations in the United States make up 2.3% of the entire United States of America. 2.3%. That's all it is, you know, mm-hmm. Of reservations. So it's a very saddening fact that these particular people and these particular people groups are very unseen, because when you think of, most people think of Native Americans, they think of, like you said, casinos, powwows, most people, you know, living in tents in a forest, or living in, the Navajo people who live in the Pueblo houses. You know, they don't think of what the reality is for most Native Americans in the United States. And when I was reading this to you today, when we were looking for topics, I think we started out just with the suicide rate in America was what we were reading about. I was reading to you the suicide rate in America, just since, was it 2017, I believe, we've lost 3 months of life. As an American people, the average person has lost 3 months of life. And as you read through the article, it talks about, you know, drug use. Drug use. There was three different criteria for why they say in the United States, but one of them was suicide. One of the big ones that has made the life expectancy for people in the United States get lower has been suicide. And that's why at the end of the article, they said, you know, for Native American women, 139%, for Native American men, 77%. So if you think about this smaller populace group, due to, you know, the fact that this country was very much built on the taking away of lands of the Native people. So if you look at a much smaller populace group and you're thinking 139% of the women are committing suicide, mm-hmm. or it's up by 139%, you know, 77% of men, there's still an entire generation that's slowly wiping itself out. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the reasons, it's even crazier. Because I sat and researched this because this is something I'm very passionate, very, very passionate about. A lot of people in the United States right now know the spotlight has come upon the Native American peoples because of the water and because of the pipeline controversies. But if you look at why they are saying the things they say, it's pretty prevalent. It's pretty crazy. I live in Illinois and near Missouri. In the last couple of years, there's been big tornadoes, right? And the big tornadoes have been significant enough that the entire populace of the United States has come and helped rebuild these towns, right? Mm-hmm. They have. There was, I don't remember where it was in Missouri, but it wiped out the majority of the entire town. Army Corps of Engineers came. Oh, let's all help them. Let's all help them. Let's all help them. New Orleans. When New Orleans happened, we've got to help New Orleans. Let's rally around New Orleans. Nobody talks about the fact that in the flooding in the Midwest this year, Pine Ridge Reservation was hit, significantly hit. 2 months later, people still can't get to their homes, what homes they had there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the reasons for suicide. One of the reasons is for the suicide rate being so high on with these peoples is poverty. You know, poverty, we could spend an hour just doing a show on why the Native American peoples, the peoples that, you know, still live on the reservations are so impoverished. We could, you know, I know I've been to I've been to Pine Ridge. I haven't been to the other reservations, but Pine Ridge is the biggest and the most impoverished. They don't have adequate mental health care. They don't. They don't have adequate mental health care there. Because to be perfectly honest, most mental health care professionals cannot afford to practice on the reservations.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very isolated place. It is. It's a very, very isolated, very impoverished, very traumatic place. And not to say that there isn't good. There's wonderful things happening on the reservations. There's a reclamation of culture. There are kids that are growing up in these generations that are fighting back. You know, they're going to college and they're going back into their communities and they're trying to find answers to generations worth of questions that that have plagued these peoples. But I just think it's crazy to me personally that, you know, why is the number 139% not a
national crisis
point? Exactly.
That's,
you know,
a national crisis when you think about the severity of this. Like, I mean,
yes.
And,
yeah.
You know, and I'm always going to say it, you know, when it kind of boils down to black and brown people are treated differently in this country. That's just the basis of it all. If you think about the opioid epidemic, drugs and drug abuse has been prevalent in colors since the 60s, 70s, 80s. It was always a big issue in our community. But it did not become an opioid crisis until, unfortunately, white America was affected by it.
Yeah.
So you know, if we look at the suicide rate, and like I said, I'm reading this as I'm going along, you know, 139%, that's basically saying that the vast majority of Native American women are literally killing themselves. And 71% of the men are killing themselves as well. And
the young people, don't see a future. The young people don't see a future at all. If you think about, you know, they call it the opioid crisis. When Native Americans were put on these reservations, you know, and alcohol was introduced to people that biologically had never had that, right? And so, you know, we all know that drugs and alcohol of any type affects everyone differently.
Yes.
Biologically, I know, as someone who has quite a bit of Native American ancestry, genetically, that large amounts of alcohol are not good for me. But alcohol was introduced. It was, hey, we can get this from these peoples. We can get XYZ if we just take them to pooch. Let's just be honest. That's what was basically said. You know, we need to be able to control this population of people because we want their land. Because if you look at the reservations, the reservations in themselves, some of the reservations are very much planted in the place where people lived. But so many of them, the Trail of Tears exists because it was a thing. They uprooted an entire generation of people and marched them hundreds of miles to a new area, most of them dying along the way, gave them blankets full of typhoid fever blankets that had been in contact with that fever, to keep them warm. The idea was population control. And then they put them in on land that could have been their land, but was the harshest percent of their land possible. The harshest percent. I look at, like, for instance, Pine Ridge Reservation. I did the math. So it's 3,468 miles. Make a guess how many acreage of that is actually able to be farmed or used for cattle.
I couldn't even give you an estimate. That's a lot of land. If you think about it, that's
84,000 acres. 84,000 acres is all that's actually able to produce agriculture.
That is a
you know, it borders the Badlands. It borders, it really does border a very hot, very arid, very dead place. It borders the Badlands, you know. I think I was reading, because I was reading about the agriculture of the air, you know, like the area, and they said it's home to the black-footed ferret. And I'm thinking, could you feed your family on a black-footed ferret? You know, you could. These hunter-gatherers, at this point, you put them in an isolated area, and then how are they supposed to take care of themselves? Oh, that's really easy. The American government. The government of the United States of America is going to come in with this, all these very controlled things and barter with them, right? And of course, they're going to bring in the things that is going to allow them to control this people population. And it's horrible to think of a country that I love and I love living in, because it's not my total heritage is not Native American. It's also Scottish and Irish, right? So it's horrible to look at a country I absolutely love, you know, that that my children are being raised up within, that my family and friends are within, and say, man, we've done some atrocious things. But guess what? We've done some atrocious things. Somewhere in my ancestry, there is some horrible people that did some very atrocious things. So if we look at all of this history for these people, and now where we've placed them, and the fact is, there, yes, on Pine Ridge Reservation, there's a four-year college, and it's awesome, and it's providing so much for these kids that can go there. But you drive across Pine Ridge Reservation, I was there about 10 years ago, you don't see a gas station, you don't see a mom-and-pop store, you don't see a Walmart. You don't see these staples of American life that everybody watches on TV inside the reservation walls. Mm-hmm. You're going to drive, you can drive for 40 miles and see very, very, very little other than a school here or, you know, a public health center. But it's isolation. It's abject isolation. People make very, very little. They have to leave the reservation just to find a job. And most people, let's just be honest, as Americans, it may take us 2 hours to get to work, but our jobs are 10 miles away. For these people, they're driving an hour and a half to work, or $8.25 an hour.
Yeah.
You know? So and if so you look at you, all of this,
so yeah. What you're saying in a sense is, do you think isolation is one of the major contributing factors to why suicide rates are so high? Because there's nothing there, and there's nothing but alcohol and things of that nature. And if people just don't see a way out, then
there's no way out. You know, it's, you've taken away a culture, you've taken away a livelihood, you've taken away a natural order of how someone is.
Yeah.
You've put them in abject isolation. Even isolation, you know, they did studies. And I can't quote them, but I remember reading them in college. They did studies of inner city youth that had never seen a farm, that had never seen, you know, animals that, you know, dogs, cats, whatever was in this inner city area. And they looked at the abject desperation in these kids and the abject isolation that they felt. And these kids will tell you, I'll never leave 10 blocks away from my home. This is the same kind of abject isolation that people, a lot of these kids here have. And then you also mix up crime against their community, you know, just like you said, people of color. There's more crime in places where these Native American reservations are due to all the abject things that happens, and police brutality is high. You know, who did it? It was a Native guy over there. Well, which one? I don't know. Pick one. You know, that these are things that are said in these areas. The mistrust, I remember going to the reservation with a church group. We went and we ran a camp and basically just to try to invest in some kids. And I remember so many of the kids just distrusted us on site. So many of them just trusted us on site until they got to know me. And then they thought, you know, I'm a little darker. I'm not porcelain white. You know, I have dark hair. I had dark, long hair at the time. And I just got right there where they were at and loved on them. And a lot of them, were very accepting, but a lot of the people in our group, they weren't accepting of, because they were used to a lot of hate thrown at them. There's a lot of that in these places. But it's crazy because it really is, they're economically impoverished.
Yeah.
And they're very isolated, and there's not as much opportunities, and everything on the reservations are controlled. So of course you've got a populace, but it's crazy to me that the government isn't going, oh my gosh, these citizens of this country, this many, because if this was anywhere else, that statistic would be national.
I agree.
The fact that that Native American women are disappearing in droves. Every day on Facebook, I see no less than 10 to 15, because I'm in a lot of groups for that culture group, because I'm slowly trying to reclaim my culture, you know, things that were taken away from my heritage, and they disappeared. Like, it's a national crisis, you know?
It is.
And you stop and think about a people group that are economically impoverished and have very, very little room to better themselves. Hey, offer them a job. Offer them something that's too good to be true, and then you've got the sex trafficking that comes in. And this is all these things that are happening, and they don't want to live anymore. Wow. And I understand that thought process of, you know, I don't have to like it, but I understand it. You know, I've been there. I've seen small children that literally take care of younger siblings. And I've heard the argument on the other side, of course, that a lot of people are like, well, it's because they're drunkards, or they're drug abusers, or they're this or they're that. And I said, but how did they get down that road?
Yeah,
and how
victim blaming is not okay.
No.
Victim blaming is never okay.
It's never okay. You know, my family did not grow up on the reservations. Every single one of my uncles and aunts were drunkards. All of them were alcoholics. My father, in with that, was very, even off of the reservation, not in the economic, you know, vacuum of poverty, still had those issues away from the reservation. And we were still very Native American. We didn't get to live the culture, but it was very understood in my grandmother's house who she was. And we were very proud of where we came from. So yeah, it's a big thing. You know, it's sad when we live in a country. And I can say this because up until my teen years, when I had to mark the boxes, census boxes, I always marked white, you know, because people walking down the road, until I really started to voice who I was, hey, look at that white girl over there, you know, even in high school, I had a lot of racial things thrown at me, and I'm like, hello, hold up, I'm not who you think I am. This is my culture.
Right.
This is my culture. Just because I'm not a full skin tone, this is still my culture.
Right.
It's sad that we live in a country where so much is thrown at black and brown peoples, at peoples with skin, red undertones, mm-hmm. at people who are Asian or Pacific Islander, as less than everyone else.
Yeah.
Because they're not. We are all people and human beings on a planet with families and thoughts and feelings and needs and souls. So why is it different? It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Any different.
You're right.
It shouldn't be.
100%.
We're all the same. There is only one race, and that is the human race.
Well, I mean, at that part, I do have to agree with you. I mean, it is human race, but until society really fully sees it that way, we're going to have these. And that's that is the absolute ugly reality about all. All right, so let's move on here to our next topic. And in Village, you guys, the woman has something to say. Okay, she knows her stuff. We've discussed great detail.
We've discussed a lot of this stuff.
We've discussed a lot of this. Yes. All right. So Eva Marie, let's move on here to this next one. And this is one that you and I have discussed and laughed at the same time. But we both realize that it needs to be.
Okay.
We're looking at Ariel, a Disney character, a mermaid, and America has literally lost their damn mind. just lost your damn mind. It's not that damn serious, people. It's a Disney character, a cartoon character. They could make the mermaid pink for all I give a damn.
Exactly. And
it doesn't matter. But the I think one of the ugliest pieces that I noticed about this entire thing was there was actually a few Facebook groups that were started to protest this coming out. How do you make a whole Facebook group to protest a Disney character being black? You've really, really and truly, you got nothing going on if you can protest a Disney character being black versus the white. it's insane to me. The whole process is insane. So go ahead, give me your thoughts.
This is why it makes me laugh, because you know, I love writing fiction. It's my mm-hmm. thing. And I love being able to go back into those old fairy tales and folk and myth, and being able to know the startings. So you have to understand who Little Mermaid was. The Little Mermaid was a Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale. Mm-hmm. It was a story about, the king of the ocean had seven beautiful daughters, and she was
Poseidon.
The youngest. No, it wasn't Poseidon. In the story, it's someone different. Okay. I'd have to pull it up. But the whole story is very tragic, just like all old fairy tales are. Mm-hmm. It's very tragic. And in the story, Ariel didn't have a name. It was just the youngest mermaid princess. In the story, basically, she goes to, I believe it's her grandmother, and she says something along the lines of, oh, I want to be where the people are, you know, I want to be a human. Because humans get to live forever. And I'm a mermaid, and once I die, I turn into sea foam and no longer exist. Mm. That's the whole thing. And if you read the story, because I was reading the story earlier today, the only thing it says about Ariel is that her skin was as soft as a rose petal and that she had blue eyes. That's all it says about Ariel in the story. I mean, if they want to go back, but this is not the original story. In the original story, when she got her legs, it hurt. And it felt like she was walking on swords the whole time she had her legs. The story is very tragic. In the story, the sea witch cuts out her tongue. So she's mute because she has...
Oh, so then that explains...
Why Ariel in the story is mute.
Got it.
Yes, but the sea witch cuts out her tongue because she has, like all mermaids and sirens... because sirens and mermaids are close in folklore, had the ability to wave people. She had a very a voice that would get you to do anything. So they cut out her tongue because to become a human, she had to make a human love her and marry her. Okay. So she goes, she saves the prince who she is watching. He falls into the ocean off of a ship. She doesn't have her legs yet. She puts him on the thing. Near a temple, someone comes out, finds him, blah, blah, blah. Through the story and her becoming a human, you find out the person who found her was a princess that eventually found him on that beach was a princess. He thinks that the princess saved him. He falls in love with Ariel, but he's supposed to marry this princess from another kingdom, happens to be that princess, ends up marrying her, whole nine yards. Ariel, I forgot, somehow somehow is given a knife. Because the dark side of the fairy tale is, even though the prince doesn't love her, if she can stab him and take his blood and have his blood drip on her, she can still get his soul and have a soul and become human and live forever.
Okay.
And live with him in eternity. Yeah, it's very dark. It's a strange story.
Yeah.
Of course, Disney is not going to want this story told to our kids.
No, obviously.
But even the little goth kids aren't going to want to hear this. But it's a dark fairy tale. It's most Disney or most things based upon old fairy tales. Most of these movies have a dark side, and they're very dark and crazy. But my whole thing with it is this: skin as soft as a rose petal doesn't mean white skin.
It does not.
If we're going to say skin as soft as a rose petal, we're going to say she has red skin. Eyes blue, does it change the story for her eyes not to be blue? Not in the slightest. And if we can take a Hans Christian Anderson fairy tale and change it so very much to be this one thing, does it matter if Ariel is a person of color? No, it does not.
No.
And how sad is it when we live in a world where we will look at generations of children and go, she can only be white. This isn't allowed. You've ruined everything. No, you don't. It's crazy to think that we're literally basing the tradition of what America is on a Disney movie.
Right.
On Ariel having to have red hair and blue eyes and pale skin. Come on, man. How silly is it that we're now telling children that that can be the only Disney princesses? Mm-hmm. You know, Disney has went out of its way to make sure that all children, all little girls, all little boys are now getting represented in one way or another. Just we don't have to like the movie. Pocahontas is not my favorite Disney.
No, Pocahontas, I've actually read the backstory on that.
And
tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a child, I watched it and I was just like, oh, okay, this is a cute movie.
You know, yeah. But I mean, it still doesn't represent my culture. But, you know, it was, you know, at the time, Disney was trying to represent all cultures. And they slowly tried to represent all cultures. But it's silly. Like, growing up, mermaids, for me, had green skin and scales.
Mm-hmm. And they killed...
And they killed people. Exactly. And so we're now, like, it's ignorance. It's ignorance. Hey, I doubt that they've read any of these people that made these Facebook, anything, have taken the time to go read the Hans Christian Andersen story about who the little mermaid was. Now, at the end of the story, it's beautiful because she says, I will not kill this man I love, and leaps into the sea and becomes sea foam. And then the guardians of the air, the girls of the air, something like that, she wakes up in a bright light, and she is told, as long as you can do good, you've now entered a higher plane. You've entered here with us, and as long as you can do good, you will someday earn a soul.
Hmm.
So it's a beautiful, in the end, it's got a lot of tragedy, and it's got a lot of pain. But it's very much not a fairy tale ending, and it's not a fairy tale like we see fairy tales. I used to actually love to read my kids actual fairy tales with actual dark, not that I wanted to scare my 3-year-old, not when they were that young, but as they got older, because I'm like, hey, this is the reality of what this really is. There is no prince in shining armor that's going to come save you. You and some prince may get together and be like, hey, let's tackle life, but there's no prince that's going to come on a white horse and save you. And if they do, they probably are too good to be true. let's be honest. They're probably
too
good to be true.
That's
but
true.
Yeah. How silly.
Right.
Like you have no time on your hands.
Yes. And I think that was ultimately what the message I was trying. For me, this whole thing was just absolute silliness.
Yes.
Like I said, it's a cartoon character. It's a Disney cartoon character. For me, this is very simple. I want to see little black and brown boys and girls represented in the right, whatever that looks like. I think as a father of two little black boys and as a uncle to a little black girl, I need Disney and anyone else that does these movies to properly represent everybody. I don't care, like I don't care if you're black, you're white, you're Asian, you're Chinese, Japanese, whatever, Pacific Islander. I think everybody needs to be represented. And so
everybody needs a voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, we teach children through fairy tales and stories, how to overcome adversity. You know, they say with children, when children play, they're learning to become little people, right? So we let children play with dollhouses or brooms or toy vacuums or bicycles. Whatever we're letting them play with is all, it's all a shadow of adult things.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a shadow of adult things, right? These imaginative stories that capture the imagination of our children, if we don't represent everyone in them, we're showing them that only little white girls can get the prince.
Mm.
We're showing them only white men can get a princess. You know, when I'm sorry, princes and princesses or knights or kings come in all shades. Where, you know, beautiful people come in all shapes, colors, and sizes. So when we're only showing one story, oh, I can never get a prince because I'm not really a princess. No.
Yeah.
That's the most ridiculous statement that any human being should ever tell their children, that you're not good enough.
Yeah.
So to me, bravo to Disney. I'm not a big Disney fan per se.
Neither am I anymore, but I will.
However, bravo to Disney for saying, hey, everyone has a voice in a story. And every shape, color, size has a voice in a story that's beautiful. And anybody can be Ariel. And anybody can, you know, is it Sebastian? I think that's his name. You know, anybody can be that. So bravo to them for saying, hey, you know, you can be a mermaid. Or, you know, of course, none of our kids can be mermaids. They're mythical creatures. So
as far as we know.
This conspiracy theory thing with me, and then you're just going to see me go. Huh?
All right. So let's move on here to this next topic. We have a few more things to discuss. This next story is definitely a very, very tragic story. Something that I got off of News One, CNN, and quite a few other places. But the article that I have is from News One. It's titled "Rest in Power, Elijah Al-Amin." Celebrities and politicians mourn the tragic killing of the 17-year-old. So, Village, I'm going to read a little bit of the story to you guys, and then we're going to discuss and give our quick thoughts on it. The world is mourning the tragic killing of Elijah Al-Amin. The 17-year-old was fatally stabbed by a 27-year-old Michael Paul Adams, all because he was listening to hip-hop music. On Thursday, July 4th, Al-Amin got off work from Subway around 11:30 p.m. and visited his girlfriend. While at a gas station in Peoria, Arizona, he was stabbed by Adams around 1:45 a.m. He was about to turn 18 in less than 2 weeks. Elijah's father told KVOU, 2 o'clock came, 3 o'clock came, 4 o'clock came. I kept calling, texting, and I wasn't getting a response. I just had a feeling that something wasn't right. He continued, you took a hell of a kid. He was a good kid, very good kid, always willing to help kids, help people in general. Michael Adams was booked on first-degree murder charges. So basically, Village, let me click back over. Excuse me. This young man was basically killed for listening to rap music, listening to hip-hop. My kids listen to hip-hop every day. My kids also listen to classical music. My kids also listen to rock music. I'm the same way. You, Eva, I know you listen to all genres of music because you love all genres of music.
Yeah.
Right? So it makes me wonder, was it really the music or was it the color of this young man's skin? Right? Because if it were, let's just say it were a young white male or young white female listening to rap music, would he have responded the same way? And I have to ask that question. So what do you think?
I read, because I was rereading the articles, I read an article where he actually stated that he was triggered by this whole thing because he associates rap music and having had bad altercations with people of color. Mm-hmm. He literally said Hispanics, Native Americans, African Americans. He stated quite a few people of those peoples.
And people of color,
specifically stated people of color. He did not say, he said he heard the rap music and that's primarily listened to by these, I think it was 5 different people groups. And so he was triggered by that. I think the part that gets is, first of all, that he just got triggered by the music. And I know people that get triggered by things and very harsh things, have been in some very horrible situations.
Right.
You know, I've got friends that have been in the military. I've got friends that have grown up in really rough neighborhoods, all of that, right? That will have that moment. But the fact is, to me, this was premeditated because he didn't walk over while this kid was in his car and stab him in a heat of being in the least bit triggered. This kid said nothing to him. He premeditatively followed this kid into a stinking Circle K where the kid was going to get a Polar Pop, just like my kids do. My kids walk to the store and get Polar Pops. He went in to a store to get a Polar Pop like most of us do because, you know, they're the cheapest soda out there, and stabbed him. That's premeditated. You had to know that that triggers you. And the fact that he can say it triggers him. When you're triggered and you're actually emotionally distraught by something, in that second, you don't have rational thought to go, oh, that triggers me. You don't have it. You don't have it. When you're triggered, you have to fight your way out of that trigger moment. I am a survivor of some really harsh, horrible things, and I recognize that in myself. And later on, 2 days later, I can go to someone and say, hey, that really triggered me, or this is why you got this response. Nowhere have I ever stabbed someone due to my trauma.
Right. Now. Right. But and I definitely think that's I agree. It's premeditated.
He thought through it.
Yes.
Hey, that kid's listening to rap. I don't like rap. And I've had people of these people groups very much hurt me in my past. And you're that people group, and I'm going to make sure that you're no longer alive on this planet. And that is bullcrap.
It is.
That is hate. That is a hate crime.
Yes.
I've had some.
But unfortunately, in this, if you've also read some of the other articles and the links and stuff like that, this is already in itself painting out to be a case of mental illness. So I'm waiting to see what's going to happen with this. Like, is this young man, is this young man going to be, just like they did Trayvon Martin, they found ways to try to damage his person, right? And one of the things that I absolutely hate that we do in this country is we shame the dead for being dead.
Yeah.
We shame the victim for being the victim. And I think that's absolute horrible to project that out there. And they're the ones that are not able to properly defend themselves. They can't say, no, I'm not that person. I'm not this way, or I'm not that way. We have to accept what is given to us about this person. And the only thing that we can do is say, you know, go to this young man's parents and say, wow, you know, what's this? And the parents will say, no, this is not my son. What the picture that they are painting of my son is not even it. This is who my son is. So it's horrible.
We don't, and this is what kills me. We don't look at Charles Manson's victims of the Manson murders and look into their past and go, they deserve to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at Jeffrey Dahmer's victims and go, oh, you did this, this, and this, you deserve to get killed. We don't look at serial killers' victims and say, they did all of these things, so this was justified, or we can see why it triggered. We don't look at a serial killer or a killer and say, oh, they had blonde hair, so they deserved it. So why are we looking at these vicious hate crimes and these vicious murders and these people who are getting gunned down by people with mental illness, who obviously have mental illness, and saying they deserved it because they were a person of color who's listening to rap music, and that triggered the other person? I'm sorry, I didn't know triggering someone being triggered gives you a right to stab someone. If that's the case, I should have a lot of victims out there, but I don't, because I am expected to own my stuff.
Yeah, yes.
Let's be honest, I'm expected to own my stuff. Am I saying that this young man does not need mental health services? No. They even said in prison they should not have released him without mental health services.
Yes.
They should have given him, someone deserves to get fired. This is on someone's head that they release this violent offender back into general populace without supports. But guess what? He's still a violent offender.
Yeah.
And he thinking violent offender that thought to himself, this person is upsetting me, so he has to get stabbed. I'm sorry. We didn't say this stuff to Manson. Manson didn't get off because he had mental illness. Jeffrey Dahmer didn't get off because he had mental illness. There are thousands of people that didn't get off because they had mental illness. Why in the last few years are we now saying, oh, I'm so sorry this happened to you. Oh, you had this traumatic, horrible past. Here's a pass to have done something very horrible and taken someone's child away from them.
Yeah.
Ended someone's life. Here's a pass because you have mental illness. Am I saying there should be a stigma to people with a mental illness? No, because I think mental illness is like any other illness out there.
Of course.
But think about that. If we're not stigmatizing it, it also shouldn't be okay that they're doing these things. It should not be okay. Mental illness is not a pass to do horrible things to other people. So you've got that. And then you've got the truth of the matter is, if that had been someone not of color listening to rap music, would this guy have gone after them? No, he would not have. Let's just be perfectly honest, because he blankly stated that's associated with people who are Native American, Hispanic, and Black. That's exactly what he stated in his, and he had no remorse. He told them, yes, I did it. Yes, I did it, and this is the reason why.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm definitely I'm definitely waiting to see how this is going to pan out, because with everything that you just said, if he's not put in prison, if he's not put in, I'm pretty sure something severe is going to happen. Yes, you can claim mental illness all you want. Yes, it still doesn't negate the fact that you committed murder. It does not negate that.
It doesn't give you a pass to commit murder.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, you have to own your stuff. We don't tell people who are poor, oh, you were poor, so you committed tax evasion? Okay, it's okay. We don't do that.
Yeah.
It's not okay to go, if it's not okay to go and steal a loaf of bread because you're hungry, it's not okay to kill someone because they triggered you.
Yeah.
It's not how justice works. We can understand it. We can try and solve the problem. But actions still have consequences. We teach our children these things. You act a fool in school, even though there might be a reason for you have act a fool, guess what? You're still in trouble when you get home. At least I would hope, because right. You still have to teach your children action and consequences have actions. Or actions have consequences, I said it backwards.
Yeah, they're backwards. It's okay.
That was really backwards, yeah.
All right, yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, here we are, another young man taken at the age of 17. At the age of 17, he was doing, when I say he was doing nothing to nobody,
he was literally doing nothing to nobody,
and he lost
nothing.
His life.
And that's, I mean, I was reading up on him, and I was like, man, this is a kid I would want to be around my children.
Yeah.
This is a kid who's was working two jobs and was taking on a third because he wanted to have a future and a bright future, you know?
Yep.
It's so horrible. Yeah. It's so very horrible, because now you've taken away someone's future father. You've taken away someone's son. You've taken away someone's brother, someone's cousin, niece, nephew off of this earth for no other reason than the style of music they want to listen to.
Yeah.
That's insane. And guess what? I'm just going to say it. If someone had stabbed someone to death for listening to the country, half of the Midwest would be up in arms.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously, half the Midwest would be up in arms over that fact.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
You know, is all rap music something that I'm like, yes, please, want my kids to listen to? No, because I think all styles of music have some junk. All styles, all genres of music have some junk. And I'm just like, hey, what are you listening to? Why are you listening to it? And what statement does that make? You know?
Yeah, very true.
And even I listen to some junk music.
Yeah, I have my ratchet music I listen to. I have a little bit of ratchet music.
It's
not something I listen to all the time, but every now and again, if I'm feeling ratchet, I listen.
It doesn't make a statement of who I am. It does not make a statement of who I am as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, it's all right. It's bad.
So, for time's sake, let's move on to this last topic here. We got to move on to this last one. So let's. I'm gonna do video share with you guys because this story in itself. I mean, this is what I want to say to people. How? Like you just. All right. So video share is tripping right now because my laptop has actually been updating the entire show.
And you even said to me, make sure your laptop is updated.
Yeah, and you know, the funny part is I literally said to myself, update the laptop. And I updated the laptop, and here's the crazy part. I think we're frozen, but...
Oh.
No, okay. It's okay. It's still recording, so it's okay.
Gotcha.
But what the issue is the camera is frozen because it's actually trying to update as we're talking. But the ugly part about this thing that I wanted to share with you guys is there was a fight at Disneyland. I may not be able to share the video with you guys. We'll give it a few minutes. If I can, I will. If not, it's not a big deal. We're just going to discuss it. The thing is, this was a fight at Disneyland. This is Disneyland. This is literally the happiest place on earth. And that's the crazy part. This is literally the detail started.
What's happening? Control. Yeah.
So with that type, right? But at a certain point, the person had probably 70 to 80. Who knows?
Yeah.
He's a big guy. And all taught to have some self-control, right? Even I've lost control, and I've had to apologize for my behavior and stuff like that. But it's hard to actually digest what really and truly happened and how to address this. I know that as a man, if I saw this happening in front of me, it's very simple. I have to do what I have to do to subdue him. The ladies, I'm going to be honest, I'm not too concerned with what the ladies are going to do. They're not going to be able to hurt me that bad. But that man, what he was doing to them, throwing them around like rag dolls, smacking them, hitting them, you know, at some point you have to stop. That's who you have to stop. And like I said, I get it. Someone spat in his face. It's ugly. Yes. It's not pretty. It's, all of the above. But you still can't respond in that way.
And no.
That's the thing that people need to realize. What are your thoughts?
You know, I've dealt with some pretty harsh stuff in my lifetime, and I'm a female, so of course I don't have that testosterone issue, you know, where someone, you know, I understand males biologically are different. You have more testosterone. When things trigger you, your automatic reaction is to attack that thing that triggers you to get it to stop. But you know, I grew up with craziness. I grew up with batteries thrown at me. I grew up with a lot of that stuff. And I remember coming home many, many a time, and my mother being furious, but her whole thing was, Eva, I hold you to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. She goes, you're female, you have this heritage, I hold you to a higher standard. You need to be above and better than that. So I think there's a difference between letting someone disrespect you and having enough self-control to say, that is not cool, and walk away. Because you're showing yourself to be that thing. You know, it makes me angry. First of all, I'm a big believer in kids are going to see violence, but it is our job as adults
to limit that.
To limit that violence and help them understand violence. Justifiable violence as well, but justifiable violence. But this woman didn't smack him in the face. Now, it escalated to that once he went over and attacked her.
Right.
Spat at her. And yeah, it's disgusting and it's demeaning. But at the same time, I'd just be like, throw a few words, walk away. Because you're a bigger person at that point. You're a bigger person. And what enrages me as a mother and as someone who is a big advocate for children and is very much aware of what happens around children, to not be a big enough man to say, this is not the time nor the place to handle this. There are children around, and now we're teaching them, you know, like when you're triggered, you don't think about those things. But at the same time, at the same time, you're going to go to a place riddled with children, and this was obviously not the first time this sort of altercation must have happened with these folks. They knew each other. They knew each other, is the way I'm understanding by reading the story. Mm-hmm. They knew each other. I believe the article I read said that they were in the same family. And I'm going, so you knew cousin whomever or your sister was that kind of person. You're going to go to the happiest place on earth with all these children who their dream has come true. And it's a toddler. It's not even older kids. It's a toddler area. And then you're going to fight in front of these toddlers. Like, at what point is this okay in your brain? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'd be saying, hey, I can't go with, you know, my cousin to this event because they don't know how to act like an adult and they're going to do these things and I don't know if I'm going to be able to control myself. Mm-hmm. And so I choose not to go there, or I'm going to walk way over here through this event. And then when they knock that old woman down, who got out of the ability.
That was crazy.
And she was obviously very, very upset. And then he just kept going. I don't know. There's some people that you want to go, why are you representatives of my community? And I'm a big advocate of that. When I was very much in the Christian church, a lot more than I am now. Not to say that I'm not a Christian, but when I was very much in the Christian church, I remember getting very mad at West Barrow Baptist Church.
Oh, yeah.
And that whole thing, because I'm like, you are not a representative of my community and of my faith, and being very angry. And I look at, you know, that's such a horrible representation of that people group. That is not who that people group are. You know, I have wonderful friends. I have you, who is wonderful with his kids and would never.
No, I'm not fighting in front of them like that.
You're not fighting in front of your children.
I will defend their lives.
You defend them, and of course you should always defend them. But nobody pulled a knife, nobody pulled a gun. It was, you know, be a man. And sometimes being a man means, even if you're being disrespected, you walk away because you're being a bigger individual at that in that moment. You know, I've been disrespected my whole life by so very many people, and a lot of, and I think it's taken it's taken more depth of character to walk away than it would if I would stand there and scream in someone's face and trying to defend myself. So I'm looking at these people, I'm just like, seriously, bro, you're gonna smack the crap out of this woman who did this, and then continue to smack the crap out of all these women who you went to Disneyland with in front of these kids. Like, what kind of statement are you making about who you are? That is insane. That's insane. It just is. It's so crazy to me. Like, why would you want to be that represent? Why would you want to represent yourself in that fashion?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, no. No, I don't agree that anyone should ever be disrespected, but there's
not in that way. There's like definitely not in that way. No,
but
way.
there's ways you handle yourself. There's things you do. There's ways you should handle yourself, because you're just proving you're that person at that point.
Yeah,
you're proving you're everything. And you know, I look at my girls and I'm like, hey, you know, we didn't grow up with a whole lot of money. We are by far not the poorest people on the planet, but we didn't grow up with a lot. But you know what? You're always going to hold your head high and act like you are the queen that you are, because your soul is what is beautiful. You know, you are never less than anyone else around you. That being said, have compassion and have empathy and have your own good moral standing, that when people act stupid, you can walk away from it.
Right. Agreed.
You know?
Agreed. Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah. And there's really no place inside my brain where I say it's okay for a 6'4" man to lay hands on a woman.
No.
I'm not saying women are less. Even now, if the woman was a fighter and could protect herself and went up and smacked the crap out of him, I can see the second of retaliation. And then, hey, I'm not going to do anything because I'm larger than you are.
I don't want to say retaliation. I would say, hey. I, I, as someone that's had to grab a woman and be like, hey, I need you to come back to your senses. I've had to do that before. I've never hit a woman, but I've grabbed a woman before. I'm like, hey, I need you to come back to your senses. And this was after the third or fourth hit. This wasn't like the first time they hit me. This was three or four blows in. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put my arms around you and I'm going to squeeze you a little bit. And I need you to come back to your senses. And I left it at that. And that was the end of it for me. I've never hit a woman. Never, ever.
You know, our body structures are different. And I'm by far not going to say, oh, you know, like we're frail, because I don't think women are in the least bit frail, but biologically we are built different.
Yes.
And men, you know, there's women that hit really hard. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think even abuse of men is a thing.
Of course.
It's a thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm looking at this guy, and then I'm looking like he didn't just like smack her once and walk away. He like annihilated her.
And went back and for more. That was the issue for me. He kept going back. I'm like, okay, man.
And then he wrote, young lady at the end that I think just said something to him, just used words. It looked like he just annihilated this young lady, like brutally beat the brakes off of her. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, in what world is it okay to beat the crud out of someone for words?
Yeah, it's ugly, y'all. It is ugly.
It's ugly. It's ugly. It's ugly, especially in front of our kids.
Yeah.
Like, our kids deserve better. Everyone's kids deserve better. This is the future. This is the future of this planet. Our kids deserve better than that.
Yep. All right, Eva Marie, let's wrap the show up, my dear. We're going to do one more thing here. We're going to do some Village Idiots.
Oh, gosh.
Had to do Village Idiots. Got to break you in the right way.
There's some this week.
There's some every day.
There's some every day, but...
All right, so let me pull this first story up. You have a story as well.
Yes, I do. Yes,
I do. And I actually found your story, so I can pull it up and share with the village, and then we can go over it. I haven't read it, but I just pulled it up. All right, first story. Oregon man in onesie, cat named Spaghetti, found hiding in crawl space during home burglary.
Oregon man in onesie with a cat named Spaghetti found hiding in crawl space during home burglary?
Yeah.
Home, or was he the burglar?
He was the burglar.
In a onesie.
First of all, he shouldn't be wearing a onesie.
There's no
logical reason for can't do it. So, all right. Nope. So let's read the story real quick. Timothy Smith and his fiance thought it was odd when they pulled up to their Gresham home with relatives Sunday afternoon and spotted a MacBook Pro, a bottle of cider, and knives atop their car. They brought the items inside, thinking maybe they were misplaced by one of their friends or new neighbors. The couple had closed on the house about 2 weeks earlier and hosted a party on Saturday to celebrate their upcoming wedding. They planned to furnish moving all of their belongings later Sunday. Inside the home, Smith and his fiance noticed some of their things had been shifted around and spotted a vape pen in the kitchen that wasn't theirs. Someone had taken off a central heating grate in the hallway and pulled out the filter. So then I grabbed two of the knives and I'm walking around looking for someone because clearly a person has broken in, Smith, 24, told the Oregonian Oregon Live Monday. He found the master bedroom door locked. The couple used a key to get inside. They found no one, but the window was open. The screen was torn off, and somebody had apparently kicked a hole in the wall, burrowing into an adjacent bedroom. The couple found holes in the wall of that bedroom, too, and a mirror ripped off a nearby bathroom wall.
That's insane.
Smith's hats filled the bathroom, and a stranger's clothes sat atop the washing machine. What in the hillbilly hell? Like, he just went in and just destroyed the place, as far as I'm concerned.
He destroyed the place, and then he stripped out of his clothes.
And put on a onesie.
His clothes in their washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And grabbed probably her onesie. I don't know. Maybe the guy was just like, hey, I'm a onesie kind of guy at home, chilling in front of Netflix. You know, I got my dress.
Now that you put it like that, I can see that, because...
Yeah.
I'm a Netflix and chill guy too. Like, I really am a Netflix and chill. Like, not Netflix and chill, but I mean Netflix, and we gonna watch Netflix. Like, just go get your food. I'm gonna get my food. Yep. We gonna watch Netflix tonight.
We've got to watch the Handmaid's Tale or Black Lightning or something. Something's gotta get watched. Yeah.
Yeah. Not about that life. Yeah, man. So if you, as a burglar, decide to break in and destroy the place, that's fine and dandy. But what you don't do is you don't put the onesie on. You got it. Like, you just got to leave.
You don't wash your clothes in their wash. And kicking holes through the wall.
But that's okay. He wore the onesie. That's a violation. You don't put somebody's onesie on. You don't do that.
You're in your private parts and
no
one else's no. onesie.
This is my onesie. Don't put my onesie on, man.
your dragon onesie.
Yes.
Your Squirtle onesie.
Exactly. All right. So.
Oh my.
That's
goodness.
A crazy story right there. That's one. Yeah. All right, we're going to stop sharing that one for a quick second. Okay, so I'm going to pull up the story you sent next, okay? So give me a second here.
Oh, goodness.
And this one, I'm going to...
I call this What the Hillbilly. I'm sorry.
What the Hillbilly? What the
Hillbilly. And you have to understand, I'm from the St. Louis area, and I'm from the southern Missouri area, where we see things like Warsh or Yontu, okay? And this is some crazy stuff we would not even do. Yontu. Yeah, there's a dialectual component to having been from Southern Missouri. Very much so.
All right, Eva Marie, go ahead and read the story. Go ahead. Tell me when you're ready to scroll down some more.
Okay. Woman throws snake at woman in carjacking. Police say a woman stole a vehicle after throwing a non-poisonous snake at the driver, then crashed through barricades set up for a pole vaulting expedition in South Carolina City. What the hillbilly? In a news release, Greenville police identified the suspect, a 29-year-old Hill Mary Marino Berrios. I'm just moving on. She was hurt in Friday's crash and released from the hospital on Monday. Authorities say Marino Berrios demanded a woman's keys and threw a live black snake at her. They say she then drove the stolen SUV with the snake still in its barrier set up for the Liberty Bridge jump off. Marino Berrios is charged with carjacking, malicious damage to property, and 5 traffic violations. It isn't known yet if she has a lawyer.
Police say the snake was released in nearby. PETA, you should be happy. The snake was unharmed.
The snake was not harmed. No snake was harmed in the making of this carjacking. My whole thing is, when have we moved from fake revolvers, knives, whatever,
to snakes? Yeah, because that's...
Like, what the hillbilly were you doing? And I read another interesting article for this that literally said she then jumped in the car after the woman jumped out and left the black snake in the car. Like, what kind of thing was going through her head that she crashed through the barrier into the pole vaulting event?
Yeah, and they're gonna put her in someone's lock unit and have a couple of...
They need to have a conversation with her about what's going on in her life, that she needed to attack some pole vaulters and use a snake as a weapon.
This is true.
Not that I would ever, hijack a car, but, I don't think a snake would be my weapon of choice.
It is for me now.
Is it?
It is like for me python? Now.
Now, I at least would make it a cool snake, rattlesnake, python, something. I wouldn't want to get bit, of course, but tarantula? Tarantula?
No. See, I don't do spiders.
Tarantula?
That's a hell no.
I don't do spiders.
Oh,
I know you
no,
don't do
spiders. No.
Hell to the na-na-na.
No. Not doing spiders.
Shark? Well, no. A shark, I get, you know, a shark would be hard to transfer.
Yeah, a shark?
Piranha?
No.
Big teeth.
Fix it, Black Jesus. What is she worshiping? What is happening? Shark? Piranha?
Lizard? Lizard?
No.
Lizard. The dragon-looking lizard guy? The little dragon that I like? So
yeah, just stick with the snake. Just stick with the snake. Stick with the snake.
Snake, the black snake.
Yeah, stay with that.
Like non-poisonous. Hissing cockroach? Hissing cockroach may be cool.
Oh, God.
The big guys,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Bees?
Yeah, I'm allergic, so that
bees
would be
pretty bad. Bees, so that'd be pretty bad. That would freak people out.
That would totally freak me out.
So in the future, carjackers of America, you hillbillies out there, please, for the love of God, don't use a black snake to hijack a car.
That's right. And that's racist. They didn't have, like, an orange snake event.
Like a horse.
Gotta get the black one.
Always it can't them. Be like a white snake. Something. Like they've got the albino pythons.
Right.
Right.
I'm just glad the snake made it out. Because
you know it's
black people.
It's.
But <Ba-dum.
laughs> I'm having a. What was that? What's the Moon movie with Eddie Murphy where he's got all the animals in it?
Dr. Doolittle.
Dr. Doolittle, that's some Dr. Doodle. That's a Dr. Doolittle moment to me.
Yeah, okay.
It's a Dr. Doolittle moment. It's like, it's something you see in a comedy. Or the one where he's got the, okay, I'm not going to go there. That's the one.
We're not. No, not today. All right, Village.
Durable thing clean. Yeah.
All right, Village. So that's the show for today. Eve Marie doesn't, I don't think you have Twitter if you don't know your Twitter.
I do not. I don't tweet. I'm kind of one of these like silent people on social media.
Yeah,
I really, really don't. I really, I mean, if I need to, I'll get a Twitter and
figure it out.
We'll discuss the gerbil on Twitter or something. I don't know. Well, if I need to get a bigger social media presence to do this, I will. But I'm just kind of like one of those quiet intellectuals that likes to.
Right. Understood. You know, understood.
My village of people get my rants. So
there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Village. If you guys want to get a hold of me, I am at Enlighten My Mind. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. Slink is still with us and Chance is still with us. We'll hear from Chance probably on Thursday or Friday. The show can be heard on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, and Tumblr by searching for Welcome to the Village. The Zoom replays will be on the Welcome to the Village YouTube channel, Tumblr, and that's it. We have an email, welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Website is welcometothevillage.wixsite.com/website. And simply put, Village, if you guys follow me on any social media, I'm going to start with letting you guys know we're going live on Zoom. You guys will definitely know beforehand when we're going to go live. As far as the show goes with Eva Marie, we're going to be coming at you guys in different days because her days off are different, and I don't like to bombard her. But we're going to figure out when her days are, and when her days are, that's when we're going to go live. So we'll work it out from there. Again, you guys will get a warning. Hey, we're about to go live on Zoom. Come over and join us, or just say on Facebook Live and go from there. All right? So, Village, as the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Eva Marie, thank you very much for showing up.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Truly appreciate it. All right, guys. We love you. Take care. Bye, everybody.
You're rocking with the Village. You rocking with the Village. Let's get it.